Welcome to Answering the Call with host Elizabeth Ficicello. In this program, Elizabeth gives us a glimpse into the spiritual journeys of priests, deacons, and religious sisters and brothers from the Columbus Diocese who have heard and answered God's call. And here's your host, Elizabeth Ficicello.
Hello, and thanks for joining us here on Answering the Call on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820, and streaming live on stgabrielradio.com. I'm your host, Elizabeth Ficicelli, and this program, Answering the Call, allows us an opportunity to get to know some of the ordained clergy, the religious, the deacons that serve our diocese and at times outside our diocese, and we get to hear about their faith journeys and how they heard God's call in their lives and how they answered that with their vocation to the church. And my guest today comes via telephone from Dayton, Ohio. He is Father John Fletcher, and he's a priest of the Companions of the Cross. And that's a fairly new Society of Apostolic Life founded in 1985. They have communities in Ottawa, Toronto, and Halifax, Canada, as well as Detroit and Houston here in the United States. And the charism of this religious community is dynamic evangelization. Their desire is for all people to come into the fullness of life through a personal and ongoing encounter with Jesus Christ. And that sounds exactly what we're all being called today in this year of faith by Pope Emeritus Benedict XVI. So I'm very excited to have Father John Fletcher on this program to share his story with us and a little bit more about his particular order. So welcome, Father Fletcher, to Answering the Call.
Elizabeth, thank you so much. I'm very happy to be able to help you out today with this.
And we are happy too. And Father's no stranger to radio. He is also the regional priest advisor of Radio Maria USA. We're going to be talking about that as well in this interview. But first, Father, for the benefit of our listeners, I'm going to give a brief background of your family life and growing up years so we can pick up your story in more detail in your early adulthood, where it seems your spiritual awakening really started to happen. So is that okay?
Sounds good to me.
Okay. So, Father Fletcher, you were born and raised in a suburb of Buffalo, New York, to a Catholic family in which you were the fourth of five children. And your mother, as you describe, was a staunch Catholic with a deep love for the faith. And your father, though, was not practicing and was rather indifferent in the area of religion as you were growing up.
And that's right.
Your faith at home consisted of church on Sundays, praying grace before meals, and being encouraged by your mother to pray before going to sleep at night. And then you attended public school all your life. You didn't really have much interest in the faith yourself as you were growing up. First communion and confirmation came and went, were not very impressionable experiences for you. And then when you reached high school, you considered a future in perhaps physics or engineering, and you would eventually attend the State University of New York at Oswego, first for mechanical engineering before you switched to industrial engineering, and you'd finish your degree and graduate from The Ohio University and embark on a career in industrial engineering. So hopefully that was an accurate summary of that first part of your life. If not, please feel to embellish anything I've missed.
No, I think you've captured the essence of it quite well.
Okay. And then if you would, Father, pick up your story from us there, starting with what you did in your career after college.
Okay, so after I graduated from Ohio University, I took a job in Cleveland for about a year, moved back to home near Buffalo, and did some computer consulting there in Buffalo for a bit, moved out to New Jersey, where I lived in New York City and worked in New Jersey for about a year, and during that time, I did some moonlighting as a bartender in New York, and my brother Steve and my other brother Hal, they both lived in California at this time, and my brother Steve was starting up his own business, and he invited me to come out with him for a couple of months to help him get things started. So I gladly moved out to California, which I thought was just going to be for a couple of months, but ended up being 3 years. And while I was there, I was continuing to pray, you know, the rosary as I knew it every night, which I think prepared my heart to accept a grace from God that would allow me to accept an invitation from my brother Hal. You see, he had always been after me to come with him to Mass and all this kind of stuff, and I just wasn't interested. So finally I decided that I was going to accept an invitation from him, and he invited me to go to hear a talk given in Sacramento, California. And when I got there, I met, well, the person giving the talk was about a guy by the name of Ted Flynn. And Ted had written a book called The Thunder of Justice. And it's a book that deals with the phenomenon of Marian apparitions, especially in the 20th century. And in this book, he mentioned that there is a shrine just outside of Denver, Colorado, called the Cabrini Shrine, the Mother Cabrini Shrine. And that at this shrine, that someday it would become a very significant place of pilgrimage. So I decided that I was going to go there because, you know, there's supposed to be some pretty amazing things happening here, and I wanted to experience those things for myself. So the next day after I'd made this decision, my brother Hal called me up, and I told him that I was going to go to this shrine, and he couldn't believe it, and he was very excited about it, and he told me that that there was a group going from the same area where I was living, led by a priest, and why didn't I see if I could go with them? And I said, sure, sounds good to me. And he also said that Our Lady is asking people to consecrate themselves to her Immaculate Heart on this feast of the Annunciation, which was in just 2 weeks' time. And he had given me a book called In the End, My Immaculate Heart Will Triumph, which is a 33-day preparation for the consecration. So I found the book that he had given me sometime earlier, and I started going through it. And one of the things that the book said, that in order to prepare yourself to receive the incredible outpouring of grace that God wants to give to you at the moment you make your consecration to Our Lady, that you really do need to go to confession just so you can have an open heart to receive all that God wants to give. So that was a problem for me because I'd only been to confession once really in my whole life, and it was at a Christmas time, you know, when the parishes have their penance services, and I was about 12 years old. And my mom brought the whole family to church this year, and she looked at me as we were walking into the church, and she threatened me. She said, we're not leaving this church until you go to confession, because she knew that I might kind of try to sneak out of it, right? So I went to confession, and then after that, I just did what I had to do. I went, made a simple confession, finished it, and got out. And that was really the last time I'd been to confession. And so here I am living in California, and I've got, you know, 6 years of college under my belt. I've got 3 years of bartending. There is a lot of material there for confession. And so by God's grace and the intercession of Our Lady, I was able to find a place to go and make a confession. And so I did. I went, I made a confession and received absolution, and I did my penance. And I was ready now to go to this pilgrimage where I would make my consecration to Our Blessed Mother.
And how, just so our listeners can kind of get into that story a little bit, how was it like once you made that confession? What was your primary feeling?
It was a little confusing because I only got through about the top five things in my confession before the priest said, oh, okay, that's enough. And I think the reason he said that was because there was a line of like 20 people behind me waiting to go to confession. And so, you know, it was great. It was a great accomplishment. I felt really good that I was able to be there and I was able to go to confession. I didn't feel like I had quite done a very thorough job of it, but I was able to take care of that, you know, in the next time I went to confession.
So you made it then to the shrine in Colorado, and what did that experience do for your faith?
So while I was there, I had an opportunity to really begin to enter into some very Catholic things that I just never did before, like the Stations of the Cross, praying the Rosary every day, going to confession again. And then this was right around Easter time, so it was Palm Sunday weekend while we were there, and the parish where we were staying at was doing the Stations of the Cross. And this Stations of the Cross was called Mary's Way of the Cross. It's a beautiful station to the cross, and each station has two parts. The first part is it's as though Mary is describing what she's seeing happen to her son at each of these stations. And then the second part is to be read by the people, where we acknowledge that the sins that we have committed have inflicted these things, these sufferings, on our Lord, and that Our Lady suffered as she saw these things happen. Mm. So as we're praying the Stations of the Cross, I'm filled with great remorse and sorrow, deep sorrow over the sins that I have committed and how they have hurt our Lord and Our Lady. And, you know, I was crying. There was actually a little spot on the floor there by the pew where my tears were kind of puddling up. And then later that night, we made our act of consecration to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. The last night I was in this, in Colorado, I was lying in bed, and I was just marveling over the kinds of things that I had been doing that I'd never done before. And I remembered this one guy said that God's going to give us grace for being on this pilgrimage. So I thought, okay, let's see what graces God has given me. And I became very still and very calm, and I suddenly became aware of a sensation here in the very middle of my heart. It was as if there was this ball of light or heat that began to expand, and it started to fill my entire body from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. And what that was this entirely consuming love for our Lord and for Our Lady, a completely compelling love for Jesus and Mary that had never been there before. Didn't even know that it wasn't there, and now here it was. And I can remember thinking to myself, there's nothing I wouldn't do for our Lord or for Our Lady. And that moment changed the rest of my life from that day forward. I went back to California. I was praying the rosary, 15 decades of the rosary every day. I was going to Mass every day. I went to Holy Hour once a week. I was going to confession once a week. I was going to a couple of prayer groups. And eventually, after about a year, I went on another pilgrimage to a place called Medjugorje. Many of you have heard about this place, and just so you know that the Church has not given any official approval of Medjugorje yet. It's still under investigation. However, pilgrimages are permitted, and priests are encouraged to shepherd their flock to make sure that they're okay while they're there. And I went there, and while I was in Medjugorje, I received another fantastic grace, and the grace that I received there was a desire to serve God with my whole life. Now, at this point, I wasn't considering the priesthood because I had grown up my whole life expecting to get married, but I had this very strong desire. I wanted to serve God with my whole life, and I figured, well, okay, I can serve God with my life, as a married man and as a career man. But that's where that desire started. And about a year after that, that desire, it took shape and it grew and blossomed into a calling to the priesthood. And once I started to recognize that the Lord was perhaps calling me to the priesthood, I started to look around, okay, well, what kind of priest would I want to be? And the kind of priest that I wanted to be was somebody who loved our Lord in the Eucharist, was totally committed and devoted to our Blessed Mother, was very faithful to the authentic teachings of Christ as he is given to his Church. And I found those three elements in this new order of priests in Canada called the Companions of the Cross. And so I went up to visit them, really liked what I saw there, learned that there was a fourth element that was very important to me, which I didn't even know about, and that was the idea of community life. And for the Companions of the Cross, we believe that the quality of our ministry will flow from the quality of our lives together. So that if we're happy with our, who we're living with, and we have healthy lifestyles, that this will enable us to have good quality ministry lives as well.
We're talking with Father John Fletcher. He's a Companions of the Cross priest and the Regional Priest Director of Radio Maria USA out in Dayton, Ohio. And he's our guest today on Answering the Call here on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. And I'm your host, Elizabeth Ficicelli. Father, I'm curious, how did your mother and especially your father react to this surprising discernment of a religious vocation?
So my mom started crying when I told her, and she was crying for a couple of reasons. She was very happy, but also she had prayed a prayer to the Lord that let her know that she's been a good mother and that she's done a good job teaching her kids about God by letting one of them become a priest or a nun. So this was like God was answering that prayer, and she was very moved by it. My dad was very excited. He had a big smile on his face. He was quite okay with this. He just thought it was great.
Oh, that's wonderful. And you would be ordained a priest for the Companions of the Cross in 2001 after 6 years of formation. And
right.
As I mentioned at the beginning of the show, this religious community is all about the business of evangelization. So talk a little bit about the places you've served at since your ordination.
Sure. Right after my ordination, I was sent to one of our new foundations at that time. We just were invited to go to Halifax, Nova Scotia, all the way on the East Coast, where I took a job working as the chaplain, the priest chaplain, at Dalhousie University there in Halifax, Nova Scotia. I did that for 3 years, and after that, I was assigned to a parish where I served as pastor for 5 years. And after that, I was sent to Rome for some studies, ended up transferring to the University of Dayton, the Marian Library, and that's what brought me to Dayton.
And while out in Dayton, you've been very involved with Radio Maria USA. You serve as a regional priest director. Tell us about Radio USA and tell us what you do there specifically.
So Radio Maria is it's a Catholic radio. It has a presence mostly throughout the rest of the world, but also in the U.S. To a lesser extent. And part of my responsibilities are I actually have several programs on the air myself each week. And in addition to that, I'm on the lookout for people who I think would have a great program that they could offer on Radio Maria, and I help with that promotion. I help with some of the kind of the fundraising, just some of the different aspects, trying to improve the quality of the broadcast, those sorts of things.
So tell us about the specific programs that you do, and what are they about?
Okay, so I have three programs that I do. One is called Mary, Mother of God and Our Mother, and this is an ongoing teaching series all about the Blessed Virgin Mary. It's covered, you know, the Marian dogmas. It's covered the phenomenon of private revelation and Marian apparitions. It's covered some of the Marian feast days. Right now we're going through some of the writings about Mary from the Catholic Church. We're looking at some of Pope Paul VI's letters on Mary. Another program is called the Catechism Hour. And in this program, I finished a section on the Catechism of the Catholic Church, and now I'm doing some of the documents from the Second Vatican Council. And another program is called the Catholic Grab Bag, where you never know what you're going to get, but you know it's going to be Catholic. So that's a program that covers a whole variety of Catholic topics.
Now, go ahead.
Oh, in addition to that, I also celebrate the Mass once a week on the air.
Oh, okay. And being on the radio like you are, and when we are here at St. Gabriel, how do you see radio playing a part in the new evangelization, since that is so much of the charism of your religious community?
Right. So Pope John Paul II said he brought this idea of the new evangelization out there. And part of the new evangelization is using new means to evangelize, taking advantage of the modern forms of communication, of which radio is a major part. And so there are opportunities for people to listen to the radio that far exceed the opportunities that people have to watch TV, because you can bring the radio with you everywhere. And you have an opportunity now to use this fantastic means of communication to tell people about the good news of Jesus Christ.
You know, an evangelization is something that isn't limited to you when you're a radio host or an author or a speaker. You know, evangelization is something we can do one-on-one. And I remember the first time, Father, I spoke to you on the phone, you were sharing a little story of your post-college life where your brother did some evangelization with you that really kind of opened the door to where God would lead you after that, and had to do with the rosary. Can you tell us that story?
Sure, Elizabeth. Thank you for reminding me of that, because if it weren't for my brother, I don't know how things would have turned out, how important our family members are in our faith journey. So one night my brother came into my room. It was Christmas time, and he said that he was giving everybody a rosary for Christmas this year, and he wanted to give me my rosary. And he asked me if I knew how to pray it, and I said, well, don't you just pray the Our Father in the big beads and the Hail Mary on the little beads? And he said, yeah, close enough. So that night, I started doing it. I started praying Our Father in big beads, Hail Mary in little beads, and I think that that was a moment of grace in my life because it allowed me to open the door of my heart to God just a little bit, and that that was enough. Our Blessed Mother, she stuck her foot in the door, wouldn't let it close again, and that was the beginning of my conversion process.
So you see, it can be something as simple as that, you know, suggesting someone pray the rosary or handing someone a tape or a book or something small like that can change a person's life. And in your case, led you eventually to the priesthood, which then obviously changes many more lives through that. And I'd like to talk a little bit, too, about your priesthood. It's so Marian-centered. You are so Marian-centered. Help us to understand what Blessed Mother, what the role she plays in your life. Tell us a little bit more about the personal relationship between you and Blessed Mother.
Well, I feel I have such a connection with Our Lady because I feel it was she who came after me. You know, I was walking in the wrong direction, and it felt like Our Lady came up and she put her hand on my shoulder. She gently turned me around, and she said, "John, you want to be going this way." And she pointed to her son. And it was like she kind of just grabbed me up in her arms and started bringing me closer to her divine son, Jesus. And that's exactly what Our Lady does. She brings Jesus to us, and she brings us to him. So because of that, I just had this fantastic connection to our Blessed Mother. And as a companion to the cross, we have a great devotion to Our Lady. We see her as the mother of priests, and we all consecrate ourselves and our priesthood to Our Lady because of this. We are her children. She is our mother, and all she wants is that we would know and love and worship her divine son, Jesus.
And if someone's listening who maybe they're a convert or maybe they're a Catholic that just really wasn't raised with much Marian devotion, or maybe we have so many non-Catholic listeners to our radio programs, how can you invite Blessed Mother into your life?
Well, I think a good starting point is to consider who she is. She is the woman that was chosen from all the women who would ever live by God to be the mother of his son, that God the Father entrusted Jesus Christ into the caring, loving hands of Mary. Mary gave birth to our Savior, and if it weren't for her, the Savior would not have been born. So I think that's always a good starting place for people who are a little bit cautious about Our Lady. Once they recognize that she brought our Savior into this world, or that he came to us through her, that we owe her a debt of gratitude. But we also need to see the love that Jesus has for his mother, and that he wants us to love her too, and that we can never love Mary more than Jesus does, because nobody loves Mary more than Christ. So I think that's a good place to start, asking our Lord, "Dear Lord, help me to know your mother a little bit better. Help me to love her the way that you want me to love her." And then we can turn to Our Lady and say, "Dear Mother, help me to know your divine son as only you know him, and help me to love him the way that you love him."
That's beautiful. Yeah, and that's great advice, because I myself am a convert, and Blessed Mother was a part of the faith I had to embrace as an adult and learn to do that. And you're right, once you let her in, she is so gentle. You know, she's nothing to be afraid of, not to be intimidated by. You know, for some of us women, she's just so perfect. It can be intimidating. She's the perfect wife, the perfect mother, and that can be intimidating. Mm-hmm. But once you let her in, you see that she is just such a loving mother. And Father, I always like to ask my guests, what advice would you have perhaps for a man listening to this broadcast who might be considering the priesthood? What steps would you advise him to take?
Well, I'd say the first thing to do is to start to pray for a grace where you can put your trust completely in God, to the point where you can say to him, "Lord, whatever it is you want me to do, I'll do it. Lord, if you want me to be a priest, give me the desire to be a priest and the courage to follow through." So I think that's always a good place to start is, you know, abandon yourself to God's plan for your life, because it is only God who calls you to the priesthood. We don't decide this for ourselves. We are answering his invitation. So I would start there with that, praying for that grace to trust in God, to abandon yourself, and to say, "Lord, if you want me to be a priest, I'll do it. You know, give me the courage to follow through."
That's wonderful advice. And we see in your life, you know, your journey saying yes to God, where, you know, not knowing where that yes would lead, being open to praying, to consecration, to pilgrimage. And God has led you on a marvelous journey, and now you're using the airwaves to for evangelization and to further the gospel message. We only have about a minute or so left. Any new projects in the works?
Well, I am working with a group in Dayton, Ohio, to start a school of evangelization for young adults. And we're hopefully we're looking at a 3.5-day school at the end of July. That we're hoping to get 15 or 20 young adults to attend. And then we're just going to see where that goes from there.
Oh, that sounds like a great project. Father John Fletcher, we're so delighted that you were able to join us this half hour for another edition of Answering the Call. Can you end with a blessing, please?
I'd be most happy to. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Lord Jesus, we give you thanks for the great love that you've shown to each and every one of us. I ask you now, Lord, to send your blessing upon all those who are listening, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you again, Father John Fletcher, for inspiring us with your faith journey as we all seek to hear and answer God's call in our own lives. I'm Elizabeth Ficicelli, host for Answering the Call on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820. I'm also a Catholic speaker and the author of 14 books for adults and young people, including Where Do Priests Come From, Where Do Sisters Come From, and Where Do Deacons Come From. And you can visit my website, elizabethficicelli.com, for more on that. I hope you'll tune in next Saturday at 10:30 a.m. and Sunday at 4 for another edition of Answering the Call. In the meantime, have a great week and God bless.
If you know a priest, deacon, or religious sister or brother that might be interested in telling St. Gabriel listeners how God inspired him or her to answer the call, please contact us at info@stgabrielradio.com.